Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about inflation. Our story is from CNBC.com and is entitled, Fed's Evans Sees Inflation Falling Below Central Bank's 2% Target After Current Rise Subsides. The current spat of inflation won't last and ultimately will fall below the Federal Reserve's target, Chicago Fed President Charles Evans said Tuesday. While inflation, by some measures, is running at a 30-year high, Evans told CNBC the supply chain bottlenecks and other issues will subside and price pressures will fade. I'm comfortable in thinking that these are elevated prices and that they will be coming down as supply bottlenecks are addressed, he told CNBC's Steve Leisman during a Squawk Box interview. I think it could be longer than we were expecting, absolutely, there's no doubt about it, but I think the continuing increase in these prices is unlikely. Inflation has been at 3.6% year over year in the past couple of months, the highest since the early 1990s, according to the Fed's preferred gauge. Other measures, such as the Consumer Price Index, have inflation running even hotter. Evans acknowledged that the trend is putting pressure on the economy. That definitely is a challenge for households and businesses. I mean, it cuts into income, wages, so that's a problem. We're definitely monitoring that, he said. It's really not a monetary policy issue. It's an infrastructure supply issue at the moment. So I think inflation will be coming down. And I think once it's down, we're going to be in a low interest rate world. Nevertheless, the Fed broadly has indicated that it has met the inflation part of its mandate with the level running well above the 2% goal. Consequently, the central bank is expected to begin slowly pulling back on the unprecedented support it has provided during the pandemic, starting with a tapering of monthly asset purchases. However, interest rate increases are not expected to begin until at least the end of 2022, according to the current Federal Open Market Committee projections. Market pricing sees the first hike coming either in November or December of next year, according to the CME's FedWatch tool. While Evans says he is on board with the tapering, he said the Fed soon will be facing the familiar change of keeping inflation elevated to healthy levels and likely will have to keep rates low. It's just putting challenges on getting monetary policy to produce sustainable inflation at and above 2% so that we can average 2% over time, he said. Okay, so there are so many places we could go with this article that it's hard to know where to start, but I think for today, we're just going to start by talking about the issue that goes entirely discussed all the time, which is why is 2% inflation per year the target? Why not 1% or 10% or what about 0% or maybe deflation? Let's get some value back in our dollars. That might be nice. Wouldn't that be crazy if for once our fiscal policy rewarded people who are savers instead of punishing them and incentivizing people to take risks with their money? Because despite the so-called knowledge of our so-called experts, deflation isn't bad. In fact, Switzerland went through years of deflation, and shock of shocks, their economy improved. You see, friends, what you and I know is that if your money is more valuable, you'll be able to spend more and live better on the same income. And that means that everyone else will be able to, too. Deflation is good for normal people and businesses. It's not good for governments who rely on inflation to manage debt. You and I know that waking up with a dollar that has more value tomorrow than it has today is a good thing. Normal people who don't have economics degrees and who don't work for the government or some smug DC think tank, we know that. The self-styled experts, they know that inflation is safe and deflation is dangerous, and they're right. According to all of their theories, they're right. And they all agree about their theories. Oh yes, the theories are, they're so very clear. They're clear and concise. And the theoretical nature of these theories, it's so theoretically sound. It's just reality that gets in the way. Because see, all of our experts, they have a problem with reality. And that's what I want us to talk about today, is the foolishness of our leaders and our experts, because they are fools. They say, and they say it all with one authoritative voice of academic and government expertise, that everyone knows deflation is bad. Well, except for in reality, when Switzerland tries it and it works. But that's, forget them. They all nod their heads along with each other, saying how inflation is good, and that it means that the economy's growing, and they all agree so much, and they're all so smart. I mean, look, they're on TV, so they've got to be smarter than you. They studied economics, for goodness sake, so they must be super duper smart. I mean, they all nod together, and they tell you that when you wake up in the morning and the money in your pocket is worth less than it was when you went to bed, that that's a good thing. And you're just supposed to nod and agree because they're the experts. I mean, they're on MSNBC and NPR and CNBC, so they've got to be very clever people indeed. I mean, yeah, I think they are clever. They're clever enough to pull the wool over our eyes and convince the whole country that slowly making their worthless paper money more worthless day by day is a good thing. I mean, how do you convince people of that? Well, that's easy. You just act very pompous and you do it over a long period of time that you just hope nobody notices. Also, you give people a bunch of free goodies with the money that you've printed, which incidentally is called bribery. We don't call it bribery because bribery is, that's illegal and immoral, and nobody in the government would ever do anything unethical or illegal like bribe people for their votes. That is right out. Don't even think about that. But look, I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, hey, nice rant, Ranty McRanterton, but I thought this show was about the Bible. Well, friends, we're getting to the Bible, I promise. But I want to remind us of some very simple facts. The simple facts are these. Even if inflation hits a year-end target of 2% in reality and not just because they fudged the numbers, that's not really a win. That's a 2% loss. Minimum, that's a 2% loss. And possibly even more in reality, because if other economies don't inflate as much or at all, or if they deflate, then we'll not only have a 2% loss, but we'll be losers relative to other countries and economies. Friends, I cannot stress this enough. And please, if you've been going through life ignoring this reality, don't. Inflation is not good. Inflation managed by the Federal Reserve is the government's way of taxing you without passing a tax. It's theft through inflation. See, there is only one way to pay back a debt. You have to pay it back. That's it. When our government prints money that didn't exist before to pay for things that it doesn't have money to do, they are creating debt. The government promises to pay that debt back, but somebody has to buy the debt. Somebody has to get paid, and they want to get paid more in the long run for their money now. People like China or England or the Federal Reserve Bank itself. Yes, the private bank that issues our money, they buy the debt we created to print the money to the tune of about $80 billion worth a month. Somebody has to buy the debt, so the Treasury issues bonds, which is the Department of the Treasury selling our debt and promising to pay back more later. But how are we going to pay it off, you wonder? If we didn't have the money and we had to go into debt to spend the money in the first place, if we had to print money in the first place to pay for the things that we didn't have the money for instead of taxing for it, how are we going to pay it off later? Are we going to buckle down, stop spending money we don't have, tighten our belts, and pay for all of our spending with money the government currently has? No. Don't be a schmuck. We'll just print more money. Simple. See how easy that is? It's like paying off an old credit card with a new credit card. But you've got a credit card printing machine. But here's the problem. Some people are going to notice. Ugh. Someone always notices. But someone's going to notice that we're just paying off debt with more bigger debt. And that means that because we're increasing the volume of money faster than we're increasing the value in the economy, the money is worth less. And this means that it hurts less when we pay the money off. So I guess we win, right? No, because we've already paid for it through inflation. Friends, the government can't pay debt with more debt any more than you can pay off a credit card with another credit card. The cost just continues to grow. Now you say, but Luke, these people wouldn't be that stupid. These people wear suits and they have degrees on the wall and they have fancy offices in New York and Chicago. They can't honestly believe that you can pay off debt with more bigger debt. Why not? Why can't they? Has 2020 demonstrated to you that our elites are particularly talented at negotiating complex, negotiating common sense daily life problems? Can you show me a technocracy in history that has worked? Can you show me an example where unaccountable, insulated career bureaucrats have shown themselves to be wiser than everyday people? Friends, if 2020 gave you a whole whopping load of confidence in our expert class, then you need to stop by the church so I can talk to you about some investment opportunities I have in a bridge that I own in New York. But that's, you know, you just come by and we'll talk about that. Now, maybe you're thinking, but Luke, you're wrong. They obviously are smart because the plan is working. We keep printing money and we haven't had to pay any price yet. I mean, we haven't hit some dystopian post-apocalypse. Luke, you sound like some doom and gloom preacher hectoring us about economic disaster. But no disasters come and we're all fine. Except, friends, the proof is in the inflation. According to research done by the Wall Street Journal, from 1790 to 1914, when we were on a gold standard and there was no Federal Reserve Act, inflation was about 0.2% per year. From 1914 to 1971, when the Federal Reserve Bank was still tethered to the gold standard, inflation rose to 2.7% per year. After we went off the gold standard, under the tender mercies of the Fed, we've had an annual inflation around 4% since 1972. So, if you're keeping score at home, that means for 125 years, we have averaged 2% inflation. And as soon as we create this Federal Reserve Act, that number is increased 13 times. And then it grew half again as big. That means that for over a century, your money basically held its value. Then, from 1914 to 1971, your money, if you left it in the bank, would be worth 24% less. Or, to put it another way, if you put $100 in the bank in 1790, in 1800, it would be worth about $98, actually a little more than that, but about $98. You would have lost less than two out of your $100. If you put $100 in the bank in 1914, in 1924, it would be only worth $76. If you put $100 in the bank in 2011, today, your $100 is worth about $67, based just on the inflation averages, not the specific year-on-year rates. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider that winning. I don't consider that cost-free. I consider that bad fiscal policy. I consider that robbery. I consider forcing future generations to pay high taxes and have money that is worth less to be immoral. It is immoral to punish those who save their money by taxing it away in inflation. It is immoral to force unborn children to pay high tax rates to pay for government goodies that we give ourselves. Most of all, and I think that this is the part that people are going to get mad at me about saying, but most of all, it is immoral to pretend that we can just print money without any cost. Now here's the thing. There is no passage in the Bible that I can point to show you that printing money is a bad thing. You know why? Because nobody printed money in the ancient world. Nobody thought that you could just print money. There is one place where it talks about silver being considered of little value in Solomon's day because of the huge influx of gold into Israel. That's not really the same thing. That's a liquidity issue, and it obviously came with mostly pros but some cons, and that's worth talking about, but that's not the point of today. Today's point is this. The Bible, while it says nothing about printing money, does speak to our current monetary and fiscal policies in this country, and the Bible is absolutely, positively against the kind of policies we have. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." Proverbs 22:26 says, "Do not be one who shakes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts." And then, of course, there's also the Sabbath years and the years of Jubilee to consider. God speaks so clearly about how bad debt is that he commanded all debts to be canceled every 7 years and the land to revert back to the family owners every 50 years. God is all about real wealth in the Bible. When God blessed materially, it was with rain and grain and cattle and wool and milk and honey and silver and gold and babies and territory and servants. God's not smart like our experts. He didn't believe in fiat currency and paying off debt with debt. God pays his debts in blood. God paid my debt and yours, but he paid it. He didn't just pass the buck or pretend it didn't exist. He paid it. And God refused to let debts get out of hand in the economy of Israel because God knows that debt is a destroyer. Debt is a thief. Debt and interest will rob a nation just as effectively as any army. Brothers and sisters, if every year a foreign army marched in and took 4% of our national wealth, we'd declare war. We'd not stand for it. But when our experts do it to us through inflation, we just nod our heads and accept it because, well, they're the expert. Friends, they aren't. They just aren't experts at anything but wreck and ruination. They're fools masquerading as wise men. They don't know better than you. They've just convinced you that they know better than you because they wear suits and went to fancy prep schools. I've said it before, and I will say it again. It is immoral and unchristian to force our children and grandchildren to pay for our lazy, greedy, selfish fiscal policies. It is unchristian to defy God's revealed will by pretending that debt is good and that we can just print our way out of problems. It is foolish and it denies reality. And denying reality is just another form of blasphemy. It is blasphemous to mock God by pretending that those who sow debt won't reap poverty. It is immoral and it is blasphemous. That is what our fiscal policy is. Brothers and sisters, friends, let's pray for wisdom and demand that our government leaders stop blaspheming God by denying reality. And let's pray and demand that they act with wisdom and stop printing money and start paying off our debts so that future generations might be able to live debt-free. I hope and pray we will, and I hope you'll join us again next week for another exciting episode of Truth and Journalism. Thank you. And may God bless your day to his glory.